Sure, I guess we've received a request for the naming of a new private road off of Shore Road in Western Head. The first name choice submitted with the petition is Serenity Now Lane. This name is acceptable. The planning department has no similar or same name exists within the current Queens County road listing. The new road itself is owned by the applicant, and therefore the petition is in compliance with the region's naming and renaming of roads policy.
Any discussion? Recommendation to move this forward to Councilor Charlton?
I move to have this come forward as a recommendation at the next meeting.
Seconded by Councilor Brown. All those in favor? Passed. Now the discussion of policy 23. Councilor Merrill.
We just had a couple. We had Brooklyn Recreation and Brooklyn Cemetery bring to my attention. There's a couple of issues, and which I do feel as well, with policy number 23. The first of it being the date, actually, to have the request in and information in of January 15th. They do not get their, even get their bank statements until the first week of January. And they have to get their books completed and their statements completed. And I believe we have to give them time in order for them to have a general meeting and get the information out to the public as well. So I think we have to give them, or give anyone, a more of a date than January 15th. It's just not enough time. So I'd like to see that actually until middle of February, end of February at the least. That's the first thing. And the second thing is the definitions. Everybody seems to be having a problem with the clarity of notice to reader level. That's not even mentioned in the definitions. And I spoke to a chartered professional accountant as well, and notice to reader is not even used anymore. It's called compilation engagement report. He suggested, we had discussed it, because it's quite a cost to have a chartered accountant, professional accountant, prepare the income statements and do the reconciliations. And so he suggested maybe calling it a financial statement, which includes a statement of receipts and disbursements. And I think we need to put this, or clarify this, in the definition area.
So what you're suggesting, because we cannot change that policy this evening,
no,
is that the policy come back for review. It's to, we don't have the policy in front of us.
Yes.
We need it looked at by staff.
Well.
And what I believe, and just to speak to one of the questions that were asked, the regardless of whether or not an organization has had area rates for 30 years or 1 year or never, there needs to be a policy, because council is responsible to all of our taxpayers to justify why we're asking them, why we set our tax rate, and what the money is needed for. So therefore, it's important that when groups apply for an area rate, that the financial department of the region to whom they're going to have to collect those taxes have a full understanding of the financial status of an organization. So often, if a group, and perhaps in the past, have only submitted their yearly statement of money in the, you know, what they have in the bank account and what revenue they expect to bring in, often it does not show if there's any long-term investments or GICs or any such monies like that. So it's important when groups ask for an area rate that their full financial status be understood. For example, if I, you know, was part of an organization and we had $150,000 in investment, but that didn't show, that doesn't show on your yearly, what you're gonna do for a budget this year. So the intent for the readership was so that the full financial picture of an organization is disclosed. And that seems reasonable. Milton Community Association years ago requested an area rate. They disclosed all their money. They were given it for a couple years. They went back to have another one. And they held a meeting and the community turned it down. Brooklyn, the Seaside, new organization, people wanted to know, you know, when you, and I believe theirs was for a 5-year request. So it's important, and maybe the readership language is wrong, which is perhaps why Councilor Mara, if you have concerns, then you need to talk to our clerk along with our finance person to bring those types of matters forward. If the date is difficult, some organizations have a year end at March, but the date, you have to understand that if a group applies for an area rate and council decides that they're going to go ahead and have a formal area rate meeting, there's several weeks of advertising, and then there, so it's Councilor Vino, Ms. Vino, do you want to come to the table and discuss the parameters around which that policy was made? Because we, as council, we approved that policy a little over a year ago.
Yeah, you did. And I just want to make sure that there is no confusion, and I think there is some confusion around dates. So in this policy, if you look under organizational requests.
We don't have it in front of us.
Okay. Yes,
we do.
Sorry.
Each area rate request must include the not-for-profit organization's most recent financial statements independently reviewed to a minimum notice to reader level. Okay. So let's say I'm an organization and my year end is December 31st, 2022. I will be providing to myself the December 31st, 2021 financial statements, because they're my most recent completed notice to reader statements. I'm going to include that, and then I'm going to include my to-date information, as is required here. It also says your budget for the upcoming, I'm going to give them my most recent bank statement, my budget, the incorporation documents or bylaws, written statement, reason for request. Everything else is very straightforward. I think that there's been some confusion about this most recent notice to reader. I understand there's concern about notice to reader, and I would just like to say that in my very short time here, the books that came this year from the Brooklyn Recreation Society were pristine. Mm-hmm. They were a gift. And if that were the case for all of these things, I don't think there would be a need to perhaps council who have asked for the notice to reader. But the reality is sometimes that's not what you get. And we and council is responsible for the proper, putting the proper controls and in place to make sure that when we as a region collect taxpayers' money, it's being spent properly. That's part of our responsibility. So I understand why the notice to reader is in there, but again, it's not the rush to judgment of, oh my gosh, we have to have our notice to reader stuff all finished and out of the accountant's hands by the 15th of January. Nope. It's not until next year that I'm going to need the December 31st, 2022 financial statements at the notice to reader level. So there's you're kind of dealing with 2 years there. And I learned a lot from this this past month, and my biggest lesson was when we do policies like this, I think it would be a good idea for
Mr. Gidney?
So do they need an accountant to do their books? Question.
No, notice to readers, but that's their books.
Okay, good. Thank you.
That's not the, the notice to readers, financial statements are done, are to be done by a chartered accountant. So all of the, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, no, I gotta digress for next, last year, when we had an error rate increase, I believe that we did not have notice to reader, is that correct?
That's correct, and that was my fault.
And we said. No, no, and I understanding it was, my understanding was, no, when we can't expect these little.
Organizations.
Organizations, thank you, to have an accountant do the books. And I'm positive that's what, that what was said. So if that was said then, why are we changing now?
Because
the cost in some cases is very prohibitive to, because for them to come up with X number of dollars, it makes it very difficult.
I understand, Counselor Gesney, about the cost. I used to work in public accounting, so I get that. I absolutely do. But as a staff person, my job is to make sure that the policy's parameters are being met. That's my job. And in this, it says notice to reader. So that's what I asked the organizations. And if council changes this policy.
Yeah, that's my
next thought. And that's, yeah.
Okay, good, okay, thank you, thank you.
Counselor Charlton?
I'm just curious what the cost is typically. In my time on the Queens Daycare Board, we had someone do all the books on our board, the treasurer. But I specifically remembered an accountant did the year end, you know, pulled it all together and just double checked it all and did sort of like a small scale audit, I guess. So I'm just wondering what this says, what is the cost to an association like Brooklyn Cemetery or Brooklyn Rec? In regard to this area rate, what would be the cost of them having to do that? Because their treasurer is obviously doing their books and doing a really great job, as you said. So
absolutely.
I think it would be pretty minimal, probably.
I would hope, but I have not been in public practice for a while. And I know many, many years ago when I would do notice to readers, they were about $500. But that's when people came in with grocery bags, right?
Right.
So, you know, it really would depend on the state of the books when they come in. Because there's no audit testing done. Basically, your job and you're given your, this is the person who just came in the door, the new kid on the block, that's what we call the bag jobs, right? And they sort all the receipts and they put everything into a spreadsheet, and then they put the spreadsheet numbers into the software that generates the financial statements. They take it up to the partner and the partner signs off. There's no audit done. But they organize all the books. So in the case of the Brooklyn Cemetery's books, because they're so clean, they would probably just take a couple of, trace a couple of bank transactions back through the general ledger entries and say, yep, that looks good to me. Make sure the bank reconciliations are done. And Bob's your uncle.
And
so,
is that,
yeah.
Sorry for that. Is that not something that we could do? I'm just asking because I remember.
No.
Okay.
Because it would be a conflict of interest for us.
Okay.
But both organizations had good books, and they didn't bring bags in, because.
Not this year.
Right. But there have been other groups that.
Yes, and so that's the thing that council needs to be aware of. That in the current situation that we're in, the books are great. The cemetery's books are very straightforward. There's very few transactions. It's not a big deal. The issue that, the concern I had this year was that there was no balance sheet. And there was investment income, so we had to ask that question. And the Brooklyn Cemetery's books were a lot cleaner, but they only started, I believe, their year, they started like in April, because that's when the new group of people took over, but they were very tight. And there was no comparison with what had been given the previous year.
Councilor Merrill?
So I still don't understand why we have to ask for a chartered accountant, because the reader, notice to reader reports are prepared by an external professional accountant. The accountant only prepares the financial statements based on the information provided by management and does not audit the numbers to verify their accuracy.
I do not.
So
audit is considered, audit is testing. Like you, when you do testing, samples of testing. So when you do a notice to reader, and that's why it doesn't cost a lot. It's the bottom line you can get. And there's very minimal registered for HST, there's a couple other things that you do, but it's, there's not a lot of audit, well, there's no auditing per se.
So if we didn't want, so I'm wondering, would it be, is it possible to create a policy such that if a group requesting an area rate brings their books in and they're in the quality of which you had just said, then they're there, everything's there. You have their expenses, their revenues, everything is showing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I
is there then a need
question.
Versus the when they bring them in, and then our staff have to try to figure out if.
And that's the thing, and that would be, I would react more to the op, I would be looking at more, react from the opposite. So what happens if staff were presented with a lot of very unorganized books that's gonna take 5 or 6 days to go through to see what was going on? That's the issue, and perhaps that is something that could be reflected in a policy so that maybe staff can identify when there's an issue and bring it to council, and I don't know how it works.
Dave McNeil?
Just to clarify, this came about because of past applications for area rates and the financial situations from those organizations, as Ms. Vino has said, weren't high quality. And as well, the information was lacking. And so we went and proposed notice to reader so that somebody independent of the organization reviews those financial statements or the document. And so that's what we're asking for. And so this, the idea of a statement of receipts and disbursements seems like an income statement with no balance sheet. And that's the problem before, and that's why we had to ask one group. They showed on their income statement interest from investments, but we didn't know how much investment they had. So if we go back to the way it was, I just fear we'll be the exact same place next year that we are today. We'll say, well, where's their bank statement that shows where their money is? And the question will be, well, we're not asking for it because the policy doesn't ask for it. And there's no independent verification from somebody outside the organization. So today, these two organizations might be high quality, but it doesn't mean next year you might get an application from somebody else. And it might be one person in the organization signs off on it and somebody else signs off on it. And whether the actual accounting is done properly, we have no idea. We're in good faith accepting what they're telling us, and that's been the problem in the past. People have said, I see on their financial statement it's showing a certain amount of money, and they don't agree with it. It's not up to us as staff or the council to get into trying to audit somebody's financial situation. And so if council wants to be relatively sure that the financial statements that are coming to us are somewhat clean and they're presented in a format that is acceptable for generally accepting accounting principles GAAP, then there needs to be a little bit of oversight, because otherwise if we don't, we'll be back here next year, the year after, whenever it's going to be, and people are going to start questioning what's this on the financial statement, what's that, and it won't be for us to pick it apart and say it doesn't meet accounting standards, because it'll be too late then. That's the problem we had in the past, and that's why we came forward with this recommendation for a notice to reader. And so I hear the discussion about, well, leave it to staff to determine whether they need it or not. I think that's unfair to the finance department to suggest that they're the ones saying whether somebody's financial statement is good or bad. I don't think that's fair to the finance staff to be the one to make that decision.
Deputy Mayor Fancy?
Going along with that, though, is just what you said. When you're doing an audit, it's grab samples. You're not doing an audit on the whole book. So now what we said here, even what was talked about, if you want to look at, well, there's money taken out here, they would take that thing they grabbed and look back through to make sure it fit all the way through. So you're not going to give any a total clarification of the whole paper that's presented. You're just going to have grab samples that made sure that they were put in right. I mean, the whole idea is that this has been going on for years.
Mm-hmm.
So now what we're trying to say, we want it to be done according to the policy. even that is not going to give you, it's, because an audit, as you said, a audit isn't doing an accounting of the whole thing, it's taking grab samples.
No, not even, full-blown audit, same thing, yeah.
So you're still not gonna get the whole picture.
No.
Because it'd be all kinds of things could be going on there, except for the one thing that they grabbed that made sure that all fit all the criteria all the way through.
But if you have another, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here, if you have somebody independent, as CAO McNeil said, reviewing the books, that person typically comes to the AGM and can talk specifically about some of the things in the books with the treasurer and provide some peace of mind for the ratepayers, perhaps, that, you know, yes, this money is actually being looked after and being spent responsibly. So, because that person has no vested interest in either party. Do you know what I mean? So, because that's something that I used to do. You know, when you're in public practice, you do these things and you go because you're the independent person that comes in and talks to them and answers those questions. So, I mean, there's that too.
And if a person was applying for a tax or an area rate,
mm-hmm.
the cost of having the notice to reader
would be part of their
yearly expense.
That's correct.
Which would be mm-hmm. then reflected
part
in their expenditure
of why
they need an area rate.
Yep.
So they could incorporate
that's
it
correct.
as an expenditure cost
mm-hmm.
in their bookkeeping for the year.
Because
so why didn't they get the area rate? If they don't get the area rate, then they just spent that money and they can't get it back if they don't get the area rate.
You mean if someone says, if the council says no?
If council says no, if the area rate members or population said no,
mm-hmm.
so same thing, yes.
But the financial statements are for a past year, not a future year. So the financial statements that they would be getting would be for a year they've already got the rate.
I agree with CAO McNeil that the staff, we shouldn't be doing the audits.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, and correct me if I'm wrong, the notice to reader
yes.
is not an audit.
Nope.
They take the information to the accountant
mm-hmm.
to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Based on that information, he does the notice to reader.
Or she,
I'm sorry. The person does. Okay. So, why can't they do a notice to reader?
Who's they?
The organization themselves.
Because they're not qualified accountants.
But they're going to give us everything that we want. We want a copy of the proposed upcoming fiscal year budget, a copy of their bank statement,
mm-hmm.
a copy of the organization's current and corporate documents, including bylaws, written statement outlining the reason for the request. So we've got all that information.
Mm-hmm.
And if they give us the notice to reader, it's a...
They can't give a notice to reader because they're not licensed public accountants. Only licensed public accountants can sign notice to readers, review engagements, or audit statements.
And okay, I understand that, but what I can't get my brain through is
yeah.
they're giving the accountant the information
yeah.
based on the information they're getting. So they could give them anything in that particular case then.
They could give them anything, but...
And they would give us... Then they would give them a notion reader. They'd bring something into us.
Yeah.
So it's I really don't understand why we need that. I can't get that, and I apologize, but I can't get that through. I don't understand why this is such a tipping point, and I can't see it being done for under $2,000. I seriously cannot see that being done for under $2,000.
Wow.
So.
I can't speak to that.
I'm just, from my experience, being on different committees and boards,
mm-hmm.
and when we submit stuff, our accounting fees are crazy. So they're not, so to get something done for $500, I don't know if that's possible.
Well, that was
a few
years ago. but I do understand what you're saying, but if the whole point is that there's an independent person that overviews the books, and that's something that council's gonna have to decide. Matters not
well,
to
no,
me,
no,
right?
No,
like
I'm
that's something
I'm
that council has to decide.
I'm arguing the policy with you. That's
yes.
I'm not
yeah,
arguing
like it's not,
to you.
I don't, yeah, like I don't take this personally.
No, this is not a personal,
yeah.
no, I don't
So, it really is up to council. If they really want that independent overview of the statements, and as I said, currently, the books that I'm getting are lovely, but they concerns, and part of what we need to make sure when we do these area rates and include them in the budget is that, you know, we are making sure that we that accountability is in place for how the money is being spent on behalf of the ratepayers.
And I understand that, yes, and I agree that it should be, we should be verifying this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if they bring in a bunch of stuff that's unorganized,
mm-hmm.
then they give it back and say, this is what we need, and that can be outlined in the policy. We have to have this, this, and this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that. If they bring in just a bunch of stuff thrown on your desk and say, we want an area rate, no, we've got to give us something to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not going to do their books for them. And in this particular case, that's not a problem. In a lot of cases, I don't think it would be a problem, but if it is, we give it back to them and say, no, we need as outlined in the policy.
Councilor Romero?
You had mentioned about an AGM. That's why I think the date of January 15th is becoming quite a problem, because that doesn't even give them a chance to have a general meeting and describe or, you know, put forth their income statements
from the previous year.
Okay, so let's just do the date thing again. So in December of 2021, what are we now? 2023? Okay. So if the year end is January to December, so just
mm-hmm.
December 2021, they have financial statements done for that year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say notice trader, just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
So they decide that, yeah, but the end of the year is the end of December, but by the time they get it to the accountants and everything,
mm-hmm.
it's April. So then they decide to have their AGM in May. At that May 2022 meeting, they talk about the financial statements from 2021. And so what we're asking is in January 2022, they just give us their budget for the coming year. We don't expect financial statements from that year that just ended. We're working for that. We're working a year behind. I can write all of this out and, like, do a little flow chart, because we're not trying. Like, I don't believe this policy has to work for everyone. And I want everyone to understand it. And I can certainly do a flow chart with timing, because I think the dates are being perceived as difficult, but I don't think they need to be, I guess is my point.
Just one last comment on the timing that Councilor Muriel suggested. Get to late February, if you push it back that
excuse me, could you speak up just a little bit?
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
The suggestion was to change the submission date for applications to mid to late February. If you do that, then that means they won't get to council till March. You won't have a public meeting. If you're going to have any type of public engagement, a public meeting until the end of March or early April, it won't meet the budget deadline, because the budget typically is done in March. So it typically wouldn't be able to meet the timeline for budgets. So if council pushes the budget out to the end of April, in order to accommodate it, it just slows down all of your capital infrastructure projects and all the other projects. You won't be able to start any of those until May, June. It slows everything down.
But I think the important thing is the books that are required to have the engagement are the books as they existed December of 2021. December 2022.
Not the year that recently ended.
And there's a whole year and
yeah.
a month.
And I can draw something out, because I'm a visual person, so I can do something that makes it a little bit easier to understand all the dates.
So it's not a difficulty with the date. The discussion should be if there's a difficulty with the cost.
That's part.
Councilor Brown.
I think most nonprofits have to submit financial records to the registry of joint stocks.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be probably at notice to reader level when they do those?
No.
Isn't it? Okay.
No, they can just send them in.
Oh, we don't.
Is it? Okay.
I haven't allowed from the gallery to speak.
Yeah. I thought they had to be at that level, so,
yeah. So
I thought
it
wouldn't be something new.
So the time we've determined, the timing of the books isn't a difficulty,
we
because it's a year
way.
Ago. It's the
you apply for an area rate for 22 for this year, for 23,
they want to see the end of the year of 2021, not 2022. So it's not the timing of getting the books. It's the whole matter of
the level of engagement that you're concerned with, that's what I'm hearing about. Notice to reader, yes or no?
And the fee.
Well, the fee that would be associated with the notice to reader, which would be part of the budgeted expenses, it would be the budget for the area rate.
Include as an area.
Aren't certain not-for-profits bound to have AGMs within a certain timeline based off their bylaws? So that these, both of these not-for-profits that are here, we could say that the timing doesn't matter, but according to their bylaws, it could.
90 days, I.
Now, let's just.
Okay. I'm just curious, I guess, if both of these groups were given ample notice to meet these requirements, if this wasn't expected of them last year, were they given lots of notice for this? I mean, I know Director Vino said that there wishes there would have been a meeting of some sort, so that makes me wonder if they really just only became aware of this, or.
I know, I think I sent out emails, but yeah, I don't have the records in front of me.
And could I just add to that question? So it says here that they have to, what they have to have, their most recent financial statements.
Mm-hmm.
The minimum notice to reader level, what kind of protection does that give us? You've said it's not an audit.
Not an audit.
Is that to ensure that the documents that are coming are smooth sailing for staff? Is that the protection?
Smooth sailing for staff, meaning me?
Yes.
Or no?
So I guess.
It's because it's taking someone who is not Region of Queens and who is not association to look at those financial statements with a completely objective lens and say, yes, I think this is a representation, a good representation of the financial situation of this organization. But, and they'll put it right in the letter, there's no testing or auditing done. Because this is simply a notice to reader.
Right.
So it's the base level engagement.
I do understand that. I guess my question is, by putting that in there, how does that protect taxpayers?
Because there was that end, I'm assuming, I didn't write the policy, so I'm assuming it's because there was that, there was a need or a want to have that independent person looking over the books that was felt that was lacking in the past.
Counselor Mews.
So that's why it was there. And, you know, we're listening to this. Some groups was coming to us and they had really good books and we didn't need it. But then there was other groups that was coming to us and they was bringing them in Sobey bags. So when this policy was made up, we decided that we had to have it one way. And I know it's a cost, but we can't have our staff looking at it and saying, oh, well, this one's all right, but then the next one they're going to turn it down and they find out. So I think and also if an accountant does it, isn't he signing off on it?
Mm-hmm.
So well, that takes a burden off the region. Lost my train of thought. It'll come to me in a second.
So, but the policy stands as it is at this point in time. And if groups apply for an area rate, and I believe Councilor Romero, we talked in late October about notifying the two groups of the area rate and the deadline for January 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Did we not?
Yes, we did.
So you contacted those groups, because
yes,
I know you did, because we talked about it.
Yep.
By like the end of October, early November,
mm-hmm.
you let them know, because I can clearly remember we had that conversation,
mm-hmm.
because we said it's soon going to be Christmas and then everything gets like this.
Yeah.
So the groups, to Councilor Charlton, did receive the paperwork, were notified by late October.
I just meant about the change specifically.
Well,
I know that they were notified, I just didn't.
They were sent, because you asked for copies of the policy and whatever.
I remember what I was gonna say.
Okay.
My apologies, I remember. The, and these amounts of money aren't significant, like they're, between the two of them's like $50,000. But as council's aware, we are working now on a policy for private roads, and I expect that one will probably be a couple hundred thousand dollar area rate. And so it's the level of comfort that council has with giving public money to a nonprofit group and them just submitting, whether it's in a Sobeys bag or whether it's a document without any third party oversight, saying here's where we spent the money. That's where council has to think about is, sometimes it's a small amount of money, but other times it's a much more significant amount of money. And so are you comfortable if the taxpayers ask, well, that money wasn't spent properly, if you have some independent oversight, you can at least argue that we do have some independent oversight, but if you don't, if you just allow organizations to receive public money and just account for it themselves without any public oversight or without any, sorry, external oversight, I would think that would be a question the public might not look favorably upon, especially when it gets into a significant amount of money. And like I said, for the private road one, we know it will probably be hundreds of thousands of dollars. It won't be a small amount of money.
Is this going to translate into other things, like even like grants to organizations and other things where people are going to be looking for monies and have to have proper way of making the request?
You mean in terms of like applying for CIF, for example?
Well, yeah, or anything, because
notice to reader statements to apply for our community investment fund?
Because you're saying, I'm looking for money, and we said, well, we don't care, you know, but all of a sudden we have to do it here, but we don't have to do it there, so you can, whatever you want to put down on paper, we'll look at it. I don't know, it's just going to translate into something like that.
See, I don't know if you can answer better than I most likely, but I would think that because it's an area rate, and it's because of that and collected on, with the Region of Queens collecting it for a specific duty, that we would have a fiduciary duty to make sure it was spent as it should be spent and as the budget was submitted the previous year. We do get follow-up information for organizations that we give out money to, but it's also a lot less money too. You know, we have people over $300 or $500 for travel expenses and things like that, all the way up to our contribution to the playground,
right,
which was a very extensive budget, but that was a registered charity, so, you know, no, we didn't ask their statements, but we could have easily gone on the website and pulled them off. So, does that answer your question at all?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just wonder where we're headed with
where
these.
Where you draw the line?
Yeah, where
thing?
You draw the line in these things.
Councillor Gidney?
I think what we're losing scope here, we're dealing with policy 23, and we're dealing with area rates.
Right.
So that has to do anything with grants or anything else. So I think we don't get lost there yet. So I agree that something has to be done, but I think if that could be rewritten in another manner, then maybe that could be accommodating to all the organizations and not just come in with a bread bag or Sobeys bag full of receipts. I'm sorry, that's not acceptable and on any level. And if someone brings it in, if it's outlined in our policy what we need, then that's cut short. If this is what we need and not this other. So.
But that's subjective.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to ask this question. This is a discussion item, and here's the question I'm going to ask. How many people would like to see the clerk bring back the policy and have any reference to a third party having to review books for people seeking an area rate removed? How many people believe that there does not need to be third party oversight over a set of books if someone is requesting an area rate? Because that's what the questions revolved around. The cost of the readership, which is a third party oversight of the books. correct, Counselor Muse? That's what this discussion has all been about so far.
Right.
Is the cost involved with a third party who's not linked to us, who's not linked to the organization, but yet it's a certified party, just overseeing a books from a year back for an organization requesting area rates. How many people believe that all reference to a third party?
I've got my hand. No, I agree that we don't need that.
How many people agree that we do not need third party oversight? One.
If they give us.
I just said that was my only question. How many people believe that there should be a third party recognized, whatever, chartered accountant, oversight of books for groups requesting area rates?
I have a question. Could I ask a question before you call that? Could we not table this and have this brought back with maybe some more context? I mean, we're all concerned about the cost, yet we don't know the cost. And do we really need, I mean, it's a policy change, so it's not going to be changed overnight anyways.
Right.
Could we just have this come back? It could come back as a discussion point at the next meeting.
Are
we under a timeline specific to this? I mean, I don't know because we're not at the next part of the agenda where we're talking about it in a different context.
But we are discussing the fact that it's the oversight issue that is the issue.
I think we need more clarification, definitely, in the notice to reader level, in the definition section of this policy. So I think we do need to have a look at this. And
so can I ask Joanne one more question? If the to a minimum notice of reader was removed,
mm-hmm.
and you had most recent financial statements,
mm-hmm.
a copy of the proposed upcoming budget, a copy of the organization's most recent bank statement, so on and so forth, if you compare the two, there's no more protection in the one that has the minimum notice to reader, is what you're saying.
The protection comes when there was the independent person between the organization and the region of Queens. That person is independent and that person is in the middle.
Counselor
because
Mayor.
Because I'm a chartered accountant, because of my training, feel more confident in statements that had someone else write on, because I know what goes into them. I wouldn't know the background of how that came in, whether it came in bags or whether it came in, you know, Google Drive photocopies and GL detail. Like, I wouldn't know that. All I know is someone who has been trained and is licensed in public accounting had reviewed those to a notice of statement level and signed off on them. It would give me peace of mind, but I'm not you. I'm not counsel.
Counselor Romero?
But does joint stocks not, like Dave said, does joint stocks not have to have an independent?
No, because joint stocks is just a registry of businesses. So they don't care what you spend or what you make. They're just a registry of businesses. That's not their function.
Even for not-profits, for certain?
No. Just a registry of businesses.
Counselor Muse?
Mm.
Joint stock, all you've got to do is send your bank statement in and saying that you paid out this and you paid out that. And then this is how much you have left. That's all they ask for.
They don't do any checking or verification
no.
or anything. And yeah, they do require some financial statements, but it's not that's not their function, I guess, like I said.
So I'm back to the question again, because we need to wrap this up. And the question was, notice to reader or engagement report, whatever it may be, keeping in mind that this policy is not about two particular groups who we're now dealing with. It's a policy that exists for if someone's asking for $500,000 in area rates. So you have to kind of put that aside and look at the policy for what it is for. For any organization who requests us to collect from our tax taxpayers, money from them on a tax rate through our budget and through our tax. Does council feel there should be an independent body that checks those books from the year before they come, before they, just to make sure they're, and the thing would be, well, if they, everything passed the year before, then they're an organization that illustrates good record management and keeping.
I just have a question, Mayor. Can we put this through for discussion for our next meeting, so that gives us some time that we can talk to find out exactly from an accounting firm what notice of reader level means and what the cost is and what value that is to us. Another thing, depending on money that's being dispersed, then there could be different levels of different things that we need for different levels of money. Like there's like a different things that we can do. For 50,000 is not the same for 250,000 or 500,000.
So that's back to that original question about, did you want to send this back to the clerk who is here and to come back with, it's council, you can all speak to the clerk, give him your ideas, he could come up with proposals between now and the end, now and next year, because this stands as it is at this point in time. Can we wrap that discussion up with that?
Yeah.
He's listened, he's heard.
Yeah.
You know where he is, you can give him your points, and we can all vote.
Thank you.
If it comes back with changes, but at this point in time, it's over. Okay, let me get back to this. And now we're at the area rate request, the actual 8.2, which is 8.3. There is a, this is discussion point. So we had two groups request area rates for 1 year. Ms. Vino, do you want to provide some background information on what their rate requests are?
So we have the Brooklyn Cemetery Association requested 1.5 cents. And the Brooklyn Recreation Association requested 4 cents. Their request was not phrased in the term of cents, but was phrased in the, I believe I included the letter with the staff report. They would like to have funding of $32,000, so we did the math and that was 4 cents. Neither party were able to provide me with a notice to reader statements for the previous year, as I'm sure you all are aware. Council can consider whether it wishes to hold an area rate meeting or other public consultation regarding the proposed area rates or refer it directly to budget deliberations.
So there's where we are. We can either refuse the area rates, call for a public meeting at which, if Brooklyn Rec were holding it or if the Brooklyn Cemetery were holding it, on your half, but if we, according to our policy and the way it used to go, the region actually were present and when the votes were conducted and the ballots were done many, many years ago. Back in early 2000, there were still area rate meetings because I attended one of them. And because no one attended other than the directors, staff here thought no one from Brooklyn's complaining, everybody's happy, why go through this advertisement of setting our staff to this meeting, and everyone's supported it. Councilor Romero.
Okay, well, I would like to thank Brooklyn Recreation and Brooklyn Cemetery for their detailed financial statements. But council nor the public has had a chance to review them. The public has had a chance to look at Brooklyn Community Association financial statements because they had a meeting. Although
cemetery.
There was only about
cemetery.
15
cemetery.
Brooklyn Cemetery, sorry. But there was only about 15 to 20 people there. And we're looking at approximately 883. That's an estimate of properties has this area rate. I would like to have an area rate meeting where Brooklyn Recreation and Brooklyn Cemetery both attend, have the public and the council be able to have a look at their financials, ask any questions. There hasn't been an area rate meeting 20, 25 plus years. There's new residents that has moved into the area as well. And this is their tax dollars. So I think they should be able to make a decision. I would like to have an area rate meeting, and I would like to have a vote. I would like the residents of Brooklyn to be able to vote whether they would like to continue on with the area rate for both associations, or if they would not. I think it's their decision. It's their money, and it's their decision.
I concur with her recommendation. With her thought. I'm sorry, with her thoughts.
Any other comments? Councilor Brown?
I agree. We discussed this at budget time last year, and it's been 25 years. I think, you know, for us to rubber stamp collecting taxes from people without letting them have a full say to us is wrong. So I think we occasionally have to go back to the public and let them have a chance to have their say.
Any other comments? Councilor Charlton?
I too agree that the public should have their say. I just am having a difficulty with the way that this is presented in the report, because it says it doesn't meet the policy, yet it's asking us if we want to do this, so that is concerning.
Council does have the ability to waive a policy. It's done very, very rarely, and it's something you probably shouldn't do too often. But in light of the discussion over readership, despite the fact that that wasn't matched or provided that this year, the associations, it would be their task to round up support and get the support, illustrate the community support, understanding that often naysayers attend. So it would be very important to, if Councilor Amaro, if Council follows Councilor Amaro's wish, then it's up to the organizations. The region staff attend. Ballots have to be created, and there is a fee, as you are aware, when there is an area rate. It's not a fee for the region to make money, but it's a fee to cover the costs, because then there have to be advertisements made, staff attend, and people.
You want to hold a meeting, you pay for it. I paid for my
Mr. Dexter,
right.
Mr. Dexter,
spoke.
Please sit down. Thank you. When council approved this policy, at that point in time, there's discussion about the fees included. Council all agreed that council should not bear costs similar to planning. If people apply for a development permit, for a development agreement, there's fees attached because it covers the costs. So there are costs that are attached to meetings. So what is council's wish? Councilor Merrill?
I do understand that, but I also think that it's been so long since there has been a meeting and a vote that I think it's important that we hear from the residents.
Wouldn't there be a hall rental associated with this meeting that the region would have to
Well,
pay?
The region would pay for the hall rental, because it's the region that...
So last one.
Councilor Charlton?
Question for Director Vino. So based off of this report that says, you know, we can consider to hold area meeting or deal with it directly in budget,
mm-hmm.
You've said that both of these documents, or financial statements rather, are pristine, so is that why this is presented in that way, as, you know, like, you're comfortable, so to speak?
I am, yeah.
Okay.
But I am not the
it's important for people to have their say one way or the other.
May I just add something to that? I mean, I have absolutely no issue at all going to any public meeting and talking to members of these associations and making them more comfortable with the process. I always look at those things as an opportunity for staff to, you know, to make this work for everyone. So, St. Bucky's is a long time, not the cemetery, because obviously they are having theirs, but any opportunity for dialogue is good in my opinion.
So it would strictly be an area rate public meeting, at which time, if it's Brooklyn Rec, the ones I've been to before, way back when, Brooklyn Rec had the opportunity to explain to the public why they're requesting their area rate and how it's going to fit in their budget, the benefits of their organization, and what it does for the community. And then they can answer any questions that come from the floor.
So does this mean that I have to wait another 2 weeks and then come back with that recommendation to have the meeting?
No.
Okay.
I think we could, in matter of time, if answer.
But I think it should be Brooklyn Recreation and Brooklyn Cemetery. They have already held theirs, but we have not held it as a municipality. And I think it should be a combined meeting.
For both.
So
yes.
If we did the combined,
I do.
Could they split the 250? I mean, it's, if council so wished. Because we cover the advertising. We cover the advertising fees.
How much notice do we have to give? Do you remember, CIO McNeil, the meeting? Should council choose to hold an area rate public meeting, the meeting shall be held on the agreed upon date between the municipality and the applicant in a location that is accessible. Be chaired by the area councilor. Doesn't say anything about date.
It just says the voting day shall be established no less than 5 days after the public meeting. Usually the voting is held right at the meeting.
Right.
No less than 5 days. So the
right.
meeting could be as it could be in a week. If it was advertised in a week's time, it could be in a week. And then there could be a vote at that point in time. It could be held in 2 weeks' time. It would be up to the organizations working with our staff to determine who can be there. Beach Meadows, we ran it for a full day. As you remember, we did it for a full day in order to allow people who worked throughout. It was rather a long day. It could just be an evening meeting. And as we know, Brooklyn Cemetery already have their homework done. They've got their presentations. They could simply repeat their presentation and explain to the public, the ratepayers, their need for the money. And you know what? Maybe only 10 people will show up. But if it's the concern that enough ratepayers aren't made aware, then I'm sure after this evening, there'll be many people that are going to be aware that there'll be a ratepayers meeting held. And the organizations, they do good things for the community. But understand, here's the other thing, that let's say if the vote's 49-51, and 49 say yes and 51 say no, council's not bound by the vote. It's right in the policy. Council is not bound by the vote of the ratepayers. So it's just, but it's so the ratepayers have the ability to ask questions, vote. Council then has an understanding of what those who showed up for the ratepayers meeting means. So is that direction you want to go? And CAO McNeil, do we need a motion to have a ratepayers meeting, or can we, from this discussion, just understand how many and I guess I should ask a question, is there anyone on council who does not feel that there should be a ratepayer meeting? Is there anyone sitting there? You're all comfortable with a ratepayer meeting?
Yes.
If not, speak up now.
Yes.
Do we need a motion to have a ratepayer meeting?
I guess clarity just before that, so, because we're talking about multiple issues. So the first issue is a public meeting for the different groups, and so I think you need to give both groups some time to prepare a public presentation and make sure they have all their financials ready and all that stuff ready to prepare and to book a facility to do it and advertise it. So I don't want to rush into it. I think you want to make sure you give the public at least a week or 10 days notice, and the groups have the ability to have their presentations prepared and everything for that. So that's the first part, is to decide 2 weeks out or whatever, 10 days or 2 weeks out, you're going to do it and make sure the stuff gets out there beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And the second part is, the old days we had the public vote at the meeting, which you got 15 people there who were all the members of those associations.
Right.
In Beach Meadows, as you said, we had a whole day meeting for anybody that could go
on the roll,
that was eligible. And so so we need some clarity. Are we voting at the meeting and getting it done right then? Are we allowing anybody between, I think the last time we did 10 to 7 or something like that, 10 in the morning to 7 at night or something like that, so people could vote.
Mm-hmm.
They're working during the day, could come in the evening, or they weren't available in the evening, it could come during the day or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So we need some clarity as whether we're having a vote at the public meeting only, or if we're having a public meeting, people can digest all the information, think about it, go back and think about themselves for 5 days at least,
mm-hmm.
and then hold a separate day-long vote somewhere else a week down the road.
Councillor Mara, how many people do you think would be interested in this? How many people do you think would be interested in attending the public meeting?
I think it's going to be quite a few, actually. Yeah. So I think we should have a public meeting, and then I think we should, 3 to 5 days or whatever afterwards, give people the time to have a look at the statements, the financial statements, ask questions. I mean, they can ask at the meeting, but they may come up with more questions. And then a vote separate. And I think we need to do a day-long vote as we did at the Seaside Center. It needs to be to 7 or 8 o'clock at night in order to give people time that is working, because I'm sure it'll probably be on a weekday, to give people time that is working that they can actually vote.
Councilor Charlton?
With Seaside Center, did the members of the public have the opportunity to just attend their AGM? Was that their public meeting?
No.
And then their vote was separate?
I remember it was during COVID.
Yes.
So rather than they could not hold a public meeting,
yeah.
So they prepared all that documentation that was online.
Right.
It was available. It was in the post offices. All their information they wanted dispelled, because COVID did not allow for a public meeting. So they had several weeks to send out all their information. And I know there were stacks sitting around in public places. Their contact names were on things. And then there was a day of the vote.
So
this is different, because now actually organizations could still do both. They could have a public meeting, but they could still have information, because Brooklyn Rec's gonna wanna sell the reason why in a positive way, and the cemetery will want to explain it in a positive way, so those groups are going to want to get out their positive information however they deem the best way,
curious,
and then there's the vote.
Curious, because if Brooklyn Cemetery has already had their AGM or the ratepayers meeting, however they word it, but Brooklyn Rec hasn't, does anyone know if Brooklyn Rec plans to do that in the next?
You could ask us, we're right here.
Sorry, we don't, and our discussion parts are just the members
of
council.
Yeah,
no,
and actually, we working on a budget, we don't ask those questions of the gallery. I know, it seems strange,
yeah,
but.
You guys don't have the answers. You don't know your policies. We know some.
Excuse me,
right,
I've asked you before.
I know, but I'm
watch your temper, please. You don't want to be asked to leave.
Based on Councillor Merrill's comments, if council wishes, simply just to give direction to staff today reach out to the two applicants at the present time. We'll pick a date that's available for both of them. We'll hold that public meeting in an evening, in 10 days or something like that, whenever we can arrange that's appropriate for everybody. We'll get copies of their presentation if they give it to us beforehand. We'll make copies, or if they're available to put on our website or whatever, we'll advertise it. Help them advertise it. We'll put an ad in the newspaper, whatever we do for advertising, to advertise those. And then at the same time, we'll schedule now to book a facility to hold the day-long vote and people to work out or whatever. To do that, then we'll have to go up the question. The issue is always what the question's going to be and what people are voting on. So we'll have to take some time and figure that out. So it's the right question. It's not leading or anything like that. It's a fair, independent question. So we can do that so that we'll have all this finished up and decided or not decided, but all this by the end of March.
And a public meeting is not the annual meeting.
No.
It doesn't, it's not an annual meeting in which you have to do your election of officers and all that. It's just a public meeting focused on the area rate request. It's not your annual meeting, because that's a separate thing that you have that's done within the organization. This is just a public meeting about why the need for an area rate.
I support what Councilor Mara says. I think she best represents
all right,
that.
So staff have their direction.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll meet with the members, the women who they are.
I'll reach out to Councilor Mara when she
and